How's everybody doing? Good? Wow. Can we try that again? Yeah. How are we all doing? Half of you are doing okay. Half of you are like, man, I wasn't ready for the cold. I got so used to the warm. How many of us is that way? Yeah, you moved to the wrong place. All right. How many are just like, I am excited about 2024? Seven, eight, nine of us. Man almighty, I am excited for what God has in store for us. If you're a guest with us, my name is Dave, and I'm the pastor here, and I just want to say thank you for being with us. There's a lot of places you could be, but you're here, and we're grateful for that. I do want to encourage you to stop by the Welcome Center and see Steve. We do have a gift for you. It's my desire that you like New Life, but even more importantly than that, that you love Jesus. Amen. And so if you have any questions, you can ask Steve. He knows everything. Or you can ask me. See that? I covered it. New year, and I'm about ready to fall off the stage. But seriously, if there's any questions you have, please just grab Steve or myself or Charity. She knows everything too. Yeah, she's just like this. But we'd like to answer your questions. All right. So you ever had one of those times where you were going in a certain direction and God said, nah, I'm going to send you another direction? Everybody ever been there? Today, we were supposed to start a series in Galatians. We were going to walk through the book of Galatians. And Tuesday, I'm sitting there and I'm praying and I'm reading and nothing's happening. And I'm going, okay, God, throw me a bone. And about that time, this is almost embarrassing even a bit, but I got an Instagram notification on my phone, and I looked at it, and it was a picture with a phrase on it. And how many people believe that God could even use social media, right? He can use social media. But there was this picture, and I looked at it for a while, and Corey's going to put it up, that first slide of the PowerPoint, if you will. And that was what it said. If nothing changes, nothing changes. How profound is that, right? But it was one of those things, I'm like, oh, cool, but I couldn't get it out of my head. And it was just like, and I'm like, okay, Lord, where are we going? And then he reminded me of a passage of scripture in the Old Testament, and I want to share that with you. It's a very familiar passage if you've been in the church world very long. It says this. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. It says, to everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck that up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, and a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, and a time of war and a time of peace. How many are familiar with that scripture? This is probably one of, if not the most quoted scripture when it comes to dealing with change, right? I remember a time where was a youth pastor friend of mine that was transitioning out of one church, and that was the passage of scripture he used to talk about change. It's not happening here. Just relax, okay? I'm not going anywhere. You're stuck with me for a while. But the thing that started rolling in my head is this. We've got to understand that nothing changes if nothing changes. We are January 7, 2024. Whether you believe it or not, it's a brand new year, brand new clean slate, right? It's a clean slate. And if nothing changes, nothing changes. Someone once said that change is inevitable. You ever heard that? It's inevitable. Misery is optional. And I thought about that a lot. And I've been praying about this, and I've been thinking about it. And some people imagine that it's possible to live life without change, right? I have met people that in my life that have said, I refuse to change. I am who I am. I refuse to change. I will not change. I am good with who I am. Can I tell you that dog don't hunt? It's impossible. It's impossible. To live is to experience change, right? And any thought that we can avoid change in life is pure illusion. It's impossible. Women have rights just like men because something changed. A black man can sit in the front of a city bus, because something changed, right? We are no longer dying in epidemic numbers from polio and influenza or smallpox because something changed. I can try to resist to change. I can try and stay the way that I am. I can try. Or I can just release resisting change. Now, we're going to explore this a little bit. We can release this resistance to change. And there's a lot of people. And there are people. How many of you like change? Not one person, but four people raised their hand, right? We're going to get to there. But here's the thing. It's like when we release this resistance to change, and it'll make more sense here in a minute, but it's like a hot air balloon that goes up when you remove the sandbags off the basket, right? It's just, whew, it's up. We need to release what's holding us back. We're in a brand new year. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, let us lay aside every weight. Every weight. In other words, what the author of Hebrews is saying is there's some stuff that need to change. We all know it. We all have it in our lives. There are things in your life that need to change. But you see, nothing changes without change. And if I keep doing what I've always done, I'll keep getting what I've always got. And I will keep feeling what I always feel. So this morning I ask you, are you ready for a change? I believe some of us here this morning might be ready for something to change in your life. I believe it wholeheartedly. I believe that there are probably more of us that are saying, I need something to change in my life. I need something. But nothing's going to change if nothing changes. Albert Einstein said this. I forgot what the quote is. There it is. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting what? A different result. How many of us have done that in our life? Me. There's a few of us. Good. I don't feel lonely now. Okay? We have to understand here today that nothing will change in our lives unless something changes in our lives. You're like, Pastor, that sounds dumb. No, it doesn't. It's just a fact. It's a fact in our life. Nothing changes in our life. And here's the crazy thing about it. How many of you know who Woodrow Wilson is? Woodrow Wilson would give us a warning today, and it's this. It was very wise what he said one day. He said, if you want to make enemies, try to change something. How true that is, right? How true that is. Change can be very threatening, can it? Why? Why can it be threatening? It's because change will bring with it a level of uncertainty, right? Because of that uncertainty, people develop an attitude or a spirit of fear, right? They fear change. In the Apostle Paul in the chapter, or 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says this, and this is a promise to us, says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of what? But of power and of love and a sound mind. Excuse me. If we are dealing with fear, if we are experiencing fear, can I just tell you this morning that that's not from God? It's not from God. That's from the enemy. And if the enemy can paralyze us with fear, he's winning. God gives us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, we should not be fearful of change. Change can be good. Change can be exactly what we need. Change can change some things in our lives. It happens, right? It happens. It happens with individuals. It happens in marriages. It happens in business and organizations. And it even happens in some churches. Probably slower in churches. All right, we've never done that before, right? Even the people in Christ's day who were looking for and expecting the promised Messiah in Jesus, right? They didn't accept him when he came because he didn't come the way that they expected him to come. Think about it. Nor did he do what they expected him to do when he came. And as a result, they rejected Christ and missed out on the greatest opportunity for real change that would ever or has ever been seen on earth, period. Misconceptions. And one of the greatest motivations, at least for me, for serving God is because it changes you. It changes you. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, and I love this. I love this verse. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The New Living Translation says it this way. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the simplest interpretation of this scripture is this, and it's simple. You guys ready? Not ready? How many are ready? If you're ready, say uh-huh. Uh-huh. The simplest interpretation of this scripture is change. Oh, that was profound, Pastor. Write it down. Right? It's change. There can be a change in me. How many times have we heard, I can't change, I am the way that I am, I just can't change, right? I can't change, I'm stuck in my ways. I can change. There can be a change in me. I don't have to stay the way that I am. I don't have to be the person that I am. I don't have to be a worrier. I don't have to be someone who feels hopeless. I don't have to be someone who sees gray skies when everyone else is seeing blue skies. I don't have to be bounded by sin. I don't have to be destroyed by my lack of self-esteem. I don't have to because I can change. I don't know about you, but I'm happy about that. And you're like, good, Pastor, you change. Right? Therefore, if any man can be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Things can change. It can be different. Now, imagine life differently. Really, seriously think about this, okay? Think about this for just a minute. Imagine your life without all the stuff that's keeping you from being filled with joy. Imagine it. What are the things that rob your joy? What are they? Don't say them. Imagine it. Imagine for a moment what it would feel like to get out of bed in the morning and be filled with joy instead of, oh my gosh, I got another day. Oh, Lord, take me now, right? Imagine what it would feel like. Imagine for just a minute what it would be like to go through an entire day without feeling depressed or feeling angry or feeling jealous or feeling unloved. Imagine. I can only imagine. You don't want me to sing that song, right, Carrie? Huh? Imagine. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature, a new person. The old is gone and the new has come. Imagine. Did you realize that that verse of scripture right there, 2 Corinthians 5:17, did you realize that it's all about the effect of change? It's all about it. That happens in people's lives every single day when they accept God's free gift of grace through Jesus Christ. It is change. The old is gone. The new has come, right? It's good news. You see, to be in Christ means, and this is sounding weird if you're not been in church a while, but you're buried with him. When you accept Christ, you are buried with him. When you're baptized in water, it's a symbolism of an inward change, being buried in the tomb and being rose again, new life, new creation. Boom. You're new. You're dead to self, right? You're dead to self. There is a change that happens in a person's life when they get saved. They don't act the way that they used to. They don't talk the way that they used to. They don't go to the places they used to. And they don't feel the way that they used to. Something changes. And I'll tell you what. And I'll tell you what it is. It's the working of the Spirit of God in your life. Right? You see, God will accept anyone right where they are. And I'm so grateful for that. But God loves us too much to leave us where we were. Right? There's change. There's change. He's going to bless you. He's going to encourage them. He's going to strengthen them. He's going to forgive them. He's going to heal them inside and out. He's going to raise them up and cause them to stand tall with the people that used to put them down. There's change. Something changes. I remember the darkness surrounding my life before Jesus. I remember it. I remember it vividly. I remember the fear. I remember the hopelessness. I remember the shame. I remember all of that. But there's something else that I remember very vividly about December 16th, 1995. Is I remember that when I prayed, God, forgive me for my sin and cleanse me and take away this, I want more of you, I felt clean. I felt clean. I felt like this weight that had been carrying on me and dragging me down, the hopelessness, I felt it just lift. And when somebody say, Dave, what do you feel like? I say, I feel clean. I feel clean. And that was the immediate. And I'm telling you, it was December 16th, 1995. If you want to get technical, it was December 17th at 2:30 a.m. in my bedroom. But I felt clean and it was immediate. It was immediate. Now, I've got to be honest with you. Before I was saved, before I accepted Christ into my life, I really didn't think there was much wrong with me. I was all that in a bag of chips. Right? There wasn't much wrong with me. But having realized the change that God did in my life at that moment, there was a lot more wrong with me than I thought. A lot more wrong with me that I even care to admit today. You're not getting it out of me. I'm just sorry. I've heard people, and here's the crazy thing. Here's the crazy thing. New Year's resolutions, right? How many have made them? Be honest. Made resolutions. I made a resolution to not make a resolution because they never stay with me. But here's the thing. I've heard people say all the time, I'm going to change. Anybody ever say that? I'm going to change. I'm going to change something this year. But then nothing really ever changes, right? At least when I've said that, it never did. If you truly, truly hear me this morning, if you truly want real genuine change in your life, why don't you change something here today? Why not make a decision to start walking with God today in a greater way than you ever have, right? In a greater way. The thing about it is this, and I believe this is why God changed the direction that I was going is because I think so often we get caught up in our life. We get caught up in the mundane. We get caught up in the normal. And we get okay with being just average, right? We get okay with just being mediocre. It's like, I've got, and you've heard me say this, you have as much of God as you want in your life, right? It's like, you know, I'm okay with what this is. I'm okay with where I am with God. Him and I are homies. We're good. We understand each other, right? But the deal is this. God has so much more. So much more. And we get caught up with just being mediocre. We get caught up with just, you know, God, if you stay in this room of my life or in this room of life, but here you just leave this one alone. This is me. I got it, right? Can I just tell you that dog don't hunt? God wants all of you. And there is no better decision in your life that you can ever make but to say, Jesus, I surrender. There's none. I've been serving the Lord 30 some years now, and I have never regretted the decision that I made on my floor in my bedroom at 2:30 in the morning on December 16, 1995. Never. Has it been easy and all rainbows and unicorn? No. God doesn't promise easy. What he promises is that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. The problem is we get to a spot where we go, I don't want to change anymore. And we stop. We stop with status quo. I don't know about you. And I don't have to answer about you. But I have to answer for me. And I have to say, God, I don't want mediocre anymore. I don't want this. I want change. I want more of you in my life. There's a saying that says prayer changes things. Anybody ever heard of that? Can I just say, it's just silly. And I thought about this a lot. It's just silly to pray and not expect something to happen. Right? Not expect change to happen. It doesn't, and here's the thing, and I've learned this, and I worked with teenagers for 20 years, worked with adults for 5, but here's the thing I know, is it's like, but Pastor, I don't know how to pray, and I sound dumb when I pray, and I don't like praying out loud, and we have all these excuses about why we don't pray. Can I just tell you, prayer is just talking to God. You don't need a theological degree. You don't need to know words like propitiation and glorification, sanctification. Oh, you don't. God, I just need you today. It doesn't have to be eloquent. It doesn't have to be all theological. It just has to be from the heart. Right? God, I'm not the most eloquent prayer. I use things like dude sometimes in my prayer. Not to God, but it's like, dude, I need some, right? God, I need you. I need you. I don't have to come up with all the Latin and Hebrew and Greek words to pray. You don't need that. You just need a heart that's genuine. It's from the heart. God, I need change, right? And it doesn't even have to be a long prayer. I used to think that you had to pray a long time. There was, when I was a kid, Pastor Roy Boggs, that was our pastor when I was a kid. Excuse me. And he was one of those hellfire brimstone preachers. And that guy, he'd be leaning over the pulpit. He was that whole turn or burn thing, right? And he could spit projectile, spit 5 rows back. I mean, we were all sitting 6 because that was his limit. But it was like he would pray, even meal, like a potluck. We'd be at a potluck, he'd be praying. And it would start, Lord, thank you for this day. And he prayed 15 minutes just for a meal. And I'm like, is that how we got to pray, Dad? I'm starving. Food's cold. Right? And I remember that as a kid. I remember thinking, man, if you're going to be a good Christian, if you're going to be a good Christ follower, you got to pray for 20 minutes just for a meal. My grandpa Ginther used to do that too. He'd pray, and it was just like, amen. Right? It was like, let's eat. You know, it doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be rehearsed. It doesn't have to be eloquent. It just needs to come from our heart. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. How much care? Not half, not a third, not 7/16, not 3 3/4. All your care upon him, for he cares for you. Change must happen in life. It has to happen. To live is to grow, and to grow is to change. Farmers, you guys know this, right? To grow is change. You got your winter wheat that's going, and I see the green. Now I don't because it's covered with snow, but then pretty soon it starts to grow taller and taller, and it stays green for a while, and then all of a sudden, boom, it turns gold. It's remarkable. To grow is to change, right? You eat too many, it's like body by Snickers, right? You eat too many Snickers bars, there's going to be change. It is. You know, when you have to go to 3 Christmas dinners because you have this in-law here and this in-law here, and then you're going to grow. And grow means change in belt size and pant size. It's going to change, right? Isaiah 61:3 says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. God wants to take your brokenness and your hopelessness and put you together new. If you're here today and you are hopeless and you're like, what is the point? And my life sucks and I hate it and there's brokenness. God wants to take that from you and give you new. He wants to heal your heart. He wants to heal that life. He wants to create in you something new. Last week we talked about the creating new wineskins. You can't put new wine in old wineskins. It causes them to explode. And it also taints the wine. Not that we're wine drinkers here, but that's in the Bible. All right? Well, I'm not a wine drinker. I think it tastes nasty, but I like grape juice. But if you drink wine, cool. It's like whatever, just don't overdo it. That's a whole nother sermon. Anyway, God wants to take that. But we have to realize, guys, we have to realize too that nothing changes if nothing changes, right? It's that definition of insanity. We can't do the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. We can't. Romans 12:2, Paul tells us, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Transformed. What does that word mean? Somebody give me a definition. Change from one thing to another. Any other definitions? Carrie, throw me a definition, Miss Teacher. Come on, what's transformed mean? What's it mean? Give me a definition. Anything. Different changes, different. Yeah. Charity, what does transform mean? Huh? Bumblebee. Bumblebee. Now that's a quintessence. When I go to heaven, there's a couple things I'm going to ask God about, and one is the bumblebee. How can a bee that big with little tiny wings make it in the air? Right? And we can't even get flying cars yet. I'm bitter. That was promised in 2015 and back to the street, or back to the future. Back to the street's another thing. I don't know. Right? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed means to undergo a change in the structure. It's a genetic modification. Let me explain it this way. Think of the caterpillar, right? Caterpillar ain't all pretty. They're ugly and fuzzy and creepy, right? They're not pretty, right? It crawls around on the ground. It eats your plants. And it's vulnerable to predators. But at some point in its life, it undergoes a transformation, both physically and mentally. We all know this, right? They form that chrysalis or whatever, the cocoon, and all over a period of time, there is literally a full-on physical transformation that takes place in that little cocoon, and it goes from an ugly, icky little caterpillar to a beautiful butterfly, right? We all know that, right? And that's the physical structure is transformed. And it produces wings and in multiple colors and all of that. And that makes it possible for that new creation to fly. Now, here's where the transformation in the mind comes in. Think about this. You're a caterpillar, right? You're a caterpillar. I would do that on the floor, but it would hurt, right? You're a caterpillar crawling around, avoiding all the predators, all that stuff. You get to a point, you get on this branch, and all of a sudden you start producing this cocoon, and you're whatever months long. I don't know, any biology teachers in here can tell me how long that takes? I don't know. It doesn't matter. All of a sudden they bust out and they've got wings. I'm a beautiful butterfly, right? I literally did this. I love YouTube. YouTube is amazing. And I Googled the transformation of a caterpillar to butterfly. Every video I watched, it was 16 of them that I watched. I wanted to be thorough for you guys. I'm working hard, understanding. Every one of them, when they come out, that butterfly comes out, right? It was a caterpillar, used to doing this all over. Now it's a butterfly. And you watch every video, and they sit there for a minute. And they're all... right? Figuring out, hey, I've got wings. And they're standing there, whatever they're sitting on, and they're... I can imagine what's going on in their brain. Man, this is new. Right? In their mind before, they were used to crawling. All of a sudden, ooh, I got wings. Oof. And then they fly. There is a transformation that happens physically and mentally in that caterpillar. They go from crawlers, creepy crawlers, to beautiful flyers that fast. Well, I don't know how fast it is, really, but 3 months, I don't know, whatever it is. But there's a transformation, right? He can rise now above being stepped on, because that's what I'm trying to do to them. They're creepy. They eat your tomato plants, all that stuff. But they rise above that from being stepped on, and now they can outmaneuver their predators. And they're free. Right? If you're a guest with us, I apologize. No, I don't. This is just me. I am trying to get these biblical things across for people so they can understand, right? But the crazy thing, if there had not been a change, this is the point of all my stupidness. If there had not been a change, there would have nothing would have changed, right? Nothing would have changed. And we walk through life resisting change and expecting different results. Right? So let me wrap this up this morning. You're like, yes, please. We're tired of seeing the butterfly. Yeah. People are going to go home and have nightmares. Therefore, if any man being in Christ, he is, and therefore, any man be in Christ. That's the ticket, right? You have to be in Christ. You don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Man, don't leave here today without that. The Bible says that it's simple. There's not a magical prayer. It's just believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he died on a cross for your sin, was buried in a borrowed tomb, and rose again from the dead on the third day. You believe in your heart that, and you confess it with your mouth, Romans says you're saved. Boom. That's the gospel, right? Everyone has sinned. Romans 3:23 says it. Romans says, for all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. In 6:23 it says, Romans 6:23 it says this. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. The wages, the thing that you have earned from the life that you have lived is death. That's the wage. But the gift is eternal life. To be in Christ. He is a new creation, a new creature. The old things are passed. At that moment, there's transformation. Boom, right? If you've been a Christ follower for very long, you have experienced this, and that's it. You're a new creation. The old's gone. The old Dave's gone. Praise God. And the new has come. The new has come. As long as you stay in that condition, the condition that you're in, you are always going to get the same result. Even as Christians, if you're staying in that condition, we can have our fire insurance, right? We can have that. We can have the grace of God in our life and try to fight change. And God's not going to force it on you. He's not going to say, I'm going to change you, right? He's not going to do that. What he's going to do is he's going to stand at the door. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come unto him and sup with him and him with me. That's about the gospel. That's about life change. But that was written to the church. That wasn't written to unbelievers. That was written to the church. Nothing changes if nothing changes. Nothing changes if nothing changes. You will always get the same result if you stay in that condition. But if you will just embrace change to come into your life, January 7th, 2024, the first Sunday of the new year, today, something can change. Something can change. He will turn your situation around. Remember, nothing changes without change. Can I just say, make up your mind today that I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I don't know about you. I don't know. I know some of your guys' stories, but I don't know all of you. I don't know the pain that you've experienced or are experiencing. I don't know the heartache and the brokenness that some of you experience. But I do know this, that if all you're gonna do is settle for this, you're never going to step into the newness of change. Maybe you've been serving the Lord for 28,000 years, but you're stuck in one thing. Nothing changes if nothing changes. Where does change come from? By the renewing of your mind, Romans 12 says. How do we do that? You get in the book. I sound like a broken record sometimes when I talk about this, don't I? You're not gonna, it's like, Pastor, I don't hear the voice of God. Then you're not reading his word. This is the spoken word of God for us. It's a love story to us. It is how we navigate life. Can I just tell you, anything that you're dealing with in life right now, you can find the answer right here. 30 years I've been going through this book and I'm still learning things. God's still pointing things out. Jared and I were talking about it yesterday. I was reading the story where Jesus was arrested in the garden, you know, and Peter cuts off the ear of the high priest's slave. You ever wonder why he did, why Jesus knelt down, picked it up, and healed him? To harm or hurt even the slave of a high priest meant death. Meant they could be killed, right? Jesus picks it up and heals it because he knows that this is the case. He knows that his transgression, this is gonna sound cool, it's gonna sound amazing to you, that transgression brings death. For the wages of sin is death, transgression. He heals it. So they could not accuse Peter of that transgression. He took away the transgression. What did he do on the cross for us? He took away the transgression. Oh, I don't know about you, I got goose pimples. 30 years I've been reading this book and that just popped out at me this week. If you're bored with the word of God, man, you better do some self-evaluation. Learn how to read it differently, maybe. Read it with a different perspective. Say, Jesus, show me in you. Because the Old Testament's Jesus concealed, right? New Testament's Jesus revealed. Read through the Old Testament and find where Jesus is in the Old Testament. It's powerful. It will rock your world, yo. You must change from being dead in sin to being alive in Christ. From being lost to found. From being hurt to healed. From being sad to having joy. From out of my mind crazy to being in perfect peace. Hebrews 12:1, let us throw off everything that hinders us. Think about this for a minute, right? We're living our life and we're caught up in all the garbage that we get caught up in. And we're like, I can't do this. I can't get rid of this in my life. I can't do this in my life. The author of Hebrews says, throw it off. Throw off everything that hinders you and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run. Do I need to show you that? Run with perseverance the race that is marked out for you. You might not know it yet, but now you're going to know. God has a race marked out for each of you. It's your responsibility to throw off everything that hinders you. It's your responsibility to, what's the word I'm looking for? Everything that hinders you and the sin that so easily entangles you. I'm glad that screen's up there. And let us run. But nothing changes if nothing changes. Nothing. Today, January 7th, 2024, 11:12 a.m. Thank you. Can I just encourage you? Can I just challenge you? Can I just dare you? Can I double dog dare you? Can I triple dog dare you? Take the first step. I'm going to quote a great theologian. What about Bob? Baby steps, right? Baby steps. If that's all you got, that's all you got. It's okay. But take the step. Take the step. Take the first step, because change begins with the first step. And nothing changes if nothing changes. There it is. That's all I got. Stand with me. Stand with me. We're going to close out in this song together. But remember, nothing changes if nothing changes. Let's sing, worship team. Let's rock this joint.